Now here's your moderator for Minds Over Matter, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely Labor Day weekend, and hope you are not too beaten down by the heat that we've had in the last few days. It's been tough, but it's clearing out a little bit today, so hopefully you can settle back and give us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we welcome your participation. That's very, very important. We don't want to sit here all by ourselves, although we'd probably amuse ourselves anyway, but it's much somehow better, much better when you call.
Much better.
Much better. Yeah. So let me give you those two numbers. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134. And toll-free. Yes, we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So all you have to do is settle back and hopefully give us a call, 415-841-4134, or toll-free 866-798-8255. Just to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, MINDSOVERMATTER. That is all strung together in one word. And that is at yahoo.com. So that's mindsovermatter at yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear our show on the line, you can do that anywhere in the world. And people do, believe it or not, listen to us anywhere in the world. At kalw.org. That is kalw.org. And if you like a podcast of this show, the lovely and talented muscle car mama Debbie is here tonight, and that will be available very soon after our show tonight, also at kalw.org and iTunes, et cetera, et cetera. All right. All that being
said, some international calls tonight. Dana was saying we have listeners all over the world. Call in.
I can't make them call. I can only encourage them. They generally just email.
Yeah.
So we will start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. Here's the first, all small case. The Puddle, formerly known as Kira Pace, looks forward to those. Oh, sorry. I'm going to start that again. The Puddle, formerly known as Kira Pace, looks forward to these next couple of weeks of normal temperatures.
My sister and her family came in right when the heat wave started. Most of them, Levi and Andrew, are going back today. So I'm hoping that the weather goes with them. We can have some normal temperature.
I blame them too.
All right.
Levi, Andrew,
it's on you.
Yeah. All right. That's cleared up now.
Right. Lori Fisher would like to join listeners of Minds Over Matter celebrating Labor Day and Beyonce's birthday by taking tomorrow a day off tomorrow. Okay. By taking tomorrow off, we'll say.
Thank you for the edit.
That's a cold reading.
Yeah.
So was mine.
In his case, this is harder to do than you might think since he doesn't actually have a job.
Yeah, the days
I went ahead and I buried that joke in there.
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
The days off are rough. I don't know what to do with my time on the days off, unlike the other days. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, figured he was going to end up in hell anyway, just not quite so soon.
All right.
Yes.
So we'll begin the questioning with Kira Pace.
All right. I'm going to start with a round called George Washington Slept Here, where I give you the name of an estate, and you tell me which U.S. president owned it. So, U.S. president.
But George Washington didn't necessarily sleep there.
Not George Washington, no. Okay. He slept at his own place.
Right. That's just a fanciful title.
Basically. It is a fanciful. Yeah.
I like the titles.
Yeah.
So these are the names of their estates.
These are the names of their estates.
But not Mount
And that was a Broadway right. Broadway play, too, by the way.
What?
George Washington slept here.
And Jack Benny was in the movie?
Yes. Yes. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. So if you want to start writing, I will I'll list them. I have a few of them.
Right. How many?
Eight.
Ooh.
Eight.
Right.
Yes, but they go quickly. Grouseland, Spiegel Grove, La Casa Pacifica, the Westland Mansion, Montpellier, Sagamore Hill, Wheatland, and Springfield. So I'll go over them again. I'll tell you where they are. Grouseland is in Vincennes, Indiana. Spiegel Grove is in Fremont, Ohio. La Casa Pacifica is in San Clemente, California. Westland Mansion is in Princeton, New Jersey. Montpellier is in Orange, Virginia. Sagamore Hill is in Cove Neck, New York. Wheatland is in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and Springfield is in Louisville, Kentucky.
Where some of your relatives probably
live. Oh, no, Lexington now.
Okay, well, closer.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
go ahead.
You probably know a lot of them, so I'll take what I think is the low-hanging fruit for Montpelier. Is that Jefferson?
It's not.
Oh, it's not. Okay.
No, I think he's Monticello.
Oh, I think you're right. Okay, then how about me guessing now? That's the one I knew for sure.
Okay.
San Clemente, is that Nixon?
It is Nixon. Right. Yay.
There you go.
All right. So you giving us one or two, one more each or not?
I'd give you another one each.
Sagamore Hill, any of the Roosevelts?
Would you like to choose a Roosevelt?
I would choose FDR.
But he's Hyde Park, as we learned from the Bill Murray movie.
Maybe he had another one. Okay.
Yeah. Would you like to guess a different Roosevelt?
I'm going to guess not Eleanor, but Teddy.
Yes. All right. Bell for that.
All right. Dana will pick up the rest.
Wheatland, Pennsylvania. That's James Buchanan.
It is. Nice.
Spiegel Grove. I believe that is Rutherford B. Hayes.
That's absolutely correct.
That's good.
Montpelier is James Madison.
Uh-huh.
All right. I won't do any more.
Should leave the rest out.
All right. So why don't you repeat the ones that, give the ones that haven't been.
Sure. I'm crossing off the ones that have been taken. Okay. So we've got Grouseland in Vincennes, Indiana, Westland Mansion in Princeton, New Jersey, and Springfield in Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay. And Lori, why don't you go?
All right. Well, I have a theme too, but my theme is Labor Day, since tomorrow's a work day. And I have my friend and regular listener, Rick Clogger, gave me this wonderful website called Behind the Name. So these are common surnames that are attached to professions. It would be like Carpenter and Mason, only these
sure.
are rarer. I have six of them.
Cooper.
Cooper's too easy, not on the list. All right, there's six of them. Chandler, so I want to know what professions these are associated with.
Right.
Chandler, second one is Kellogg. Third one is Lehrer, like Tom Lehrer. Fourth one is Fletcher. Number five is Bumgarner, like Madison Bumgarner. And number six is Schwarzenegger, our former governor's name. So I want to know what professions these are associated with. The first one's Chandler. Second one is Kellogg. Third one is Lehrer. Fourth one is Fletcher. Fifth one is Bumgarner. And the last one is Schwarzenegger.
Bumgarner is James Garner's real name.
That's correct.
So is the job just being James Garner? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Many people have had that job.
So, Kara, you go first.
Two at the most each.
Oh, I'm not even going to use that much. Well, Lehrer, does that have anything to do with reading, a reader? Probably
I'm going to say it's not far away from it. So
okay.
You're not too
let's
far.
Let's go with teaching.
That's correct. A Lehrer is a teacher.
Oh, very good.
Very good.
Excellent.
Which is what Tom Lehrer's profession was before he became a songster.
Right.
He was a mathematics professor.
A Fletcher is an arrow maker.
You know, and it's a specific thing in arrow making. It's a little more specific than
the
that.
Strings, bows, and things like that.
He puts the feathers at the end of
it?
The arrows.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
right.
Exactly what he does. But that's a bell.
And a Chandler is usually worked with ropes to do ship's rigging. They call him a ship's Chandler.
That's not what I read on the website. The Chandler did something else that might have been on a ship and also been other places. But there might be other things.
Or was it a sail? Maybe it was a sail. Anything to do with the sails?
Not what
no?
I have.
Okay.
Is Schwarzenegger maybe like a blacksmith or some such thing?
No,
okay.
Well, Schwartz is German for black.
Black. Which is where I was going with that.
So blacksmith would make sense, but
yeah.
It isn't.
Okay. All right.
So we're looking for Chandler, Kellogg, Bumgarner, and Schwarzenegger. Lehrer is a teacher. Thank you, Kara. And Fletcher is an arrow maker who attaches the feathers to the shaft of the arrow. And happy Labor Day, everybody.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Gareth from Hayward.
Hi, Gareth.
Hey, is it Chandler? Is that a candle maker?
It is.
Candle maker. Okay.
Candle seller and right. sometimes a chandelier maker. Very good.
Good.
Yeah. I have a couple questions.
All right.
Last week you were talking about Carmen Dragon. He scored a few feature films. Probably his best known feature film score was for a film that was a suspense score that was filmed in Santa Rosa. You know what it was?
So
that would be the Hitchcock one in Santa Rosa. That
Shadow of a Doubt.
It wasn't directed by Hitchcock.
Oh.
Oh. Okay.
Another Santa Rosa suspense film.
The other one.
What?
Everybody knows that.
Who was in the movie? Or give us one person that was in the
movie. Oh, I try. I'll give you a clue. The lead actor in this film also appeared in the 1978 remake.
of Shadow of a Doubt? A remake of what?
The same film.
Oh. Oh.
Didn't know there was a remake.
Well, what film was remade in 1978, I think, is basically the question.
I'll give you a little clue. Here's a giveaway. It dealt with pods.
Oh, was oh, what's a crazy...
Oh, the Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's my second question.
Okay.
Which from Rio Bravo feature, how many from then television actors appeared in Rio Bravo? Which two future ones appeared in it?
How many future television actors appeared
in it? Which then TV stars appeared in Rio Bravo? Which two future ones appeared in it?
Well, I mean, Dean Martin.
Dean Martin's in it.
Yeah.
Ricky Nelson.
Yeah.
Ward Bond was on Wagon Train.
Yeah.
How many more?
There's two more.
There's the William, was it Russell, the one that played the villain? He was a...
I could have said six, though. Yeah, John Russell, yeah.
Yeah, he was on a cowboy show, though. I'm sorry, I don't remember the name. Maybe he played Pat Garrett.
Lawman.
Sure. Lawman, okay. And...
you don't know the other one?
Well, Claude Akins.
Wow.
Well, it was Claude Akins, but the other one, that one has had his own series. So he wanted to play Stumpy.
Oh, Stumpy. Well, Walter Brennan was the real McCoys, and the Guns of Will Sonnet.
Yeah. Now, what was the last one?
The last Walter Brennan?
The last actor, you mean?
Actors, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, boy. Ooh, Pedro Gonzalez. who else? Gosh, I don't know. I'd have to think about it.
No, Angie Dickinson.
Oh, policewoman. Okay. Yeah.
I forgot she was in Rio Bravo.
All right.
Good question.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, Gareth.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me give you a couple of questions. You may or may not, you probably have, heard of the National Film Registry, which is the Library of Congress. And they register several dozen films a year that have historic value, mm-hmm. or, you know, famous either documentaries or feature films. So there's only one film in the whole list of the National Film Registry through the Library of Congress that is on there twice because it was remade. What is that?
So it's not The Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
It's not The Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Just want to cover that ground.
What's the only film that is on the National Film Registry twice?
When you said pot film, I thought they remade Reefer Madness. No. Pod. Okay.
Pod. So what is the only film that is on the National Film Registry twice? Because it was remade.
And in your mind, is it deserving both times?
Not my kind of movie, but I can see why it's there. They are there.
That's a good question. Hmm. Can I ask if one was silent and one wasn't?
Yes, you can ask that.
And would you answer it?
Yes, one was silent.
Okay.
No.
And these are all American films, right?
Yeah. In this case, these are American films.
Yeah. They all are, right, in the National Film Registry,
I'm not absolutely certain about that. So what's the only film that is on the National Film Registry through the Library of Congress twice? Under the same name, obviously.
Nosferatu made twice.
Yes, but no.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not American enough either time.
I don't think. It's not? Okay.
Yeah. The first one's definitely not.
All right. While you're thinking of that, I'll ask my other question, which is, what is the best-selling posthumous book of all time?
Well, you're liking the posthumous questions. Yeah.
Yeah. What is the best-selling posthumous book of all time?
Are we counting the Bible?
I knew you were going to say that.
No, we're not counting the Bible. What is the best-selling posthumous book of all time?
And is it more of a bestseller type or more of a classic work of literature type?
A little bit of each, I guess. Well, I don't know. That's open to interpretation,
yeah.
I suppose. You know.
Did the person die within the last 20 years?
No.
Okay.
So once more, what is the best-selling posthumous book of all time? And what is the only film that is on the National Film Registry, which is through the Library of Congress, under the same name twice?
Okay, this is a wild guess on the film.
Yeah.
Because The first one's old, but I don't think it's silent. A Star Is Born?
No, that's a good guess. And one of them is on there.
The Judy Garland
but,
one. Would
yeah,
be.
But I don't think the other one is.
Not the Janet Gaynor one. Huh?
Yeah, I don't know. Right. Don't think so.
All right.
And not the Barbra Streisand one.
The great Christopherson.
No, it's not. Not yet, anyway.
Well, there's in that another... case, I'm totally guessing jazz singer, just so I can bring up the fact that Neil Diamond was in the second
nope,
one.
Not but, that. No.
Yeah.
And they're remaking Star Is Born now with Bradley Cooper and, I believe, with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. Coming out next year. Yeah, it's true.
Seriously?
Dana gave me a look like, what the?
Oh, well. It's one of those stories, I guess.
If they did it with Barbra Streisand and Kris Kristofferson. All right. Okay.
Anyway.
Question.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Roland from Bernal Heights.
Hi.
Hey, I have a couple of stabs at questions.
Okay.
One shot in the dark is the posthumous book, A Confederacy of Dunces by John Kennedy O'Toole.
That is an excellent guess, but no.
Okay. Then is Westland Mansion, is that Grover Cleveland's?
Oh, sorry. Yes, it is.
Princeton, New Jersey. Okay. That was very good.
I saw his grave in Princeton, New Jersey, which is why I guessed that one. And then the movie that's on the film registry twice, would that be Phantom of the Opera?
It is not. That's a very good guess as well.
And then, all right, so one last shot. Kellogg, is that a pork butcher?
It is. It's a kill hog. That's
what
the name
that's
comes
right.
Oh.
Very good.
Very good.
Never associated with the Kellogg brothers and the cereal, but thank you.
Right.
Really nice.
Good
so
job.
Which,
No, go ahead.
Going to ask which one of those that's still remaining is the baker, since you've got a butcher and a candlestick maker.
I'm not that smart, so no.
Okay.
Yeah, that's really good.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I just have a couple quick questions.
Sure.
Here's a question that might sound familiar, but the answer might not sound familiar. What is the etymology and first appearance of the word drag to usually mean a man dressed in women's clothing?
Are you talking about maybe in Polari, or do you need something before Polari, or just like the general Polari speak?
Well, the etymology is kind of commonly... understood.
Drag. How far back are we going?
This is a question you guys asked on the show a few weeks back, which is why I'm asking it to you.
Well, we don't listen to the show.
No. I forget everything immediately upon leaving the studio. I was the one that did ask a question about that. I didn't ask about the etymology of it.
So
I don't think,
was it coined for a work of literature or a song, something like that?
Well, you guys asked what the origin of the word drag was, and the answer that was given was it was an acronym, meaning dressed
as
a girl.
Dress.
And that it came from Shakespeare. And so that's actually what's called a false etymology.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. It sounds fake.
Yeah, the one key for false etymologies is if they're acronyms for words that existed before the mid-20th century, because acronyms are almost non-existent. So here's a few, let me give you a few words and see if you guys can come up with the popular false etymologies for these. So tips, meaning the money you give to someone, say at a restaurant or a server.
So, just to be clear, we're looking for the fake.
You're looking for the acronym that is popularly supposed to be the original version. So, tips.
Does the S stand for service?
Service. Yep.
Thanks or T stand for thanks? Personal service or something?
No.
I'll
give you a hint that P stands for proper.
Proper.
Oh, this is for proper service?
Something like that, to ensure proper service.
To ensure, okay.
Nice.
All right, good.
So the word news,
Northeast, west, south?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yep, that's
we're both
northeast,
that.
West, south. That's totally false as well.
Yep.
The word golf,
G-O-L-F.
Yep.
G-O-L-F.
Is it because it's flogging backwards?
No, my God. That would be great.
Is F a fairway? Is F a fairway word?
No.
Is G-O like get off?
I'll give you a hint.
Get off the lawn of friends.
That's close. I'll give you a hint that the L stands for ladies.
Oh. Game is the first.
Gentlemen, maybe?
Gentlemen is
or ladies.
Well, think about the origins of golf and the old-fashioned golfing clubs.
They're all Scottish.
And who might be allowed and who might not be allowed?
Gentlemen or ladies?
Oh, proper. Gentlemen's only, ladies forbidden, or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly, yeah. Gentlemen only, ladies forbidden.
That's good.
And then last one, the word posh.
Oh,
well, that's port out starboard home.
Port out starboard home. All of these utterly fake. So I hope that asking those questions didn't reinforce those fake etymologies on anyone.
Well, now I can't ask any of them.
There's a famous one for the F word, too, which
we probably shouldn't do.
All right.
Also fake. There's like four fake ones for that.
All right.
Thank
you.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Good
Bye.
Question. False trivia.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight, technical editor Kira Pace, Professor Emeritus, Diablo Valley College, Lori Fisher. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And Kira, I believe it is your turn.
Is that posthumous book, maybe The Bell Jar?
It is not.
Okay. All right. Let's do this one. On Nielsen ratings. So it's another thing you're going to have to write down. My apologies. But I am going to give you the name of the highest rated episode of a TV series. You tell me the name of the series. Okay? So episode name.
This is going to be hard.
What?
Unless there's a clue.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean.
Yeah. So
each
the highest rated.
Yeah, okay.
For example, like the highest rated episode of The Simpsons ever was called Bart Gets an F. So if I said Bart Gets an F, you tell me The Simpsons.
Okay.
Mm. Okay. So The Man Trap. All Good Things. Somewhat related to The Man Trap, actually. Human Flesh. The Dragon and the Wolf. An American Girl in Paris, Part 2, Felina, One for the Road, Who Done It, Edith's Problem, and The Giant Jackrabbit.
Well, these are a lot. Hold on a second.
Well, Edith's Problem is all in the family.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
And what was the final one?
The Giant Jackrabbit.
Go through the list once more. Yeah. If you
sure. The Man Trap. All Good Things. The Man Trap, by the way, is a series premiere. All Good Things is a series finale. Human Flesh, a series premiere. The Dragon and the Wolf is the most recent season finale. An American Girl in Paris, Part 2, is also a series finale. Felina, a series finale. One for the Road, a series finale. Who Done It? The only one in here that is neither, or one of two, actually. It's just a season episode. Edith's Problem. Which you already got, and The Giant Jackrabbit.
Is One for the Road. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think I have two. Felina is Breaking Bad.
That is absolutely correct.
Good job. Yes.
Name for the song. And American Girl in Paris, I think, is Sex in the City.
Yep.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Is One for the Road Mary Tyler Moore?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
That is a good guess. It is not, though. It's about, I don't know, 10 or 15 years later.
All right. And Human Flesh.
That's the hardest one. Oh. I just put that one in there for me.
Dexter?
No, it's not. That's a great guess.
It's very Dexter-ish.
And it's not The Walking Dead.
No.
Are any of these shows still on the air? I know none of the finales, but
two of them are. Okay. Two of them are. Okay. Human Flesh is still on the air. The Dragon and the Wolf is on the air for another season or half season. So.
Oh.
All right,
is
Debbie.
It, All Good Things. Is that Strange Things? Stranger Things?
Stranger Things, no.
Okay.
Debbie whispered in my ear that Game of Thrones is.
That is correct.
Is
that,
which one?
Is that Dragon
That's
and the Wolf?
That's the Dragon and the Wolf. Oh, yeah, yeah, that just happened.
All right.
So we got four of them, and there's 27 left.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Ed in Massachusetts.
Hi, Ed.
Let me see. I've got a couple. Some of my answers have been taken already. Let's see. The National Film Registry, the one that's on there twice. I know that one. Ben-Hur.
Ben-Hur is correct.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Good.
1925 and 1959.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And then the Heston. the posthumous book, that wouldn't be Hemingway, The Movable Feast?
It is not.
Okay. And yeah, when that guy called with the drag question the other day, I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, that you guys had that on your show not too long ago.
Actually, right.
All right, so those are my answers. My question actually doesn't have an answer, or it has multiple answers. I just want to throw it out there and see what you guys think.
Let's scramble.
It's something that's had in my head for a long time, and so I wanted to ask you and then see what callers think as well.
Right.
What fictional character, and I've been on the internet and I can't find a single reliable source that actually answers this question.
Oh, well, then ask us. Yeah.
So this is less trivia and more of a Google search is what you're saying.
What fictional character is the most widely recognized worldwide?
Santa Claus? Like,
yeah. It's open-ended. I don't know. And so what do you think?
Well,
would it be Santa Claus, Sherlock Holmes, Mickey
there
Mouse?
There are kind of surveys about this. And Sherlock Holmes is one.
And Santa Claus is the one that always turns
Santa
up.
Santa Claus is one.
Yeah. But usually it's turned up in literature.
Yes.
Yeah.
Debbie said Ronald McDonald, which I think is true, too.
Yeah. So those are different categories.
And
right?
Dracula, I think, is one.
And then you get some, there's like the classic literature ones, and then the ones that are modern marketing.
Right.
You know, like Ronald McDonald or SpongeBob SquarePants or...
It was the Little
Tramp.
Geez,
I hope SpongeBob doesn't beat
Chaplin's
Sherlock
Little
Holmes.
Tramp was it for sure. Years
right.
and years.
What about
years.
Mickey Mouse, actually, is probably right up there.
Well, he's fictional.
But we can leave it out if people want to guess.
People
on it.
Have it. Yeah, there's hardly any way
I'm
to measure.
I'm just curious what other kinds of names people might think of that, you know, that people everywhere would recognize. And maybe not so much recognized by sight like Mickey Mouse, but like the story, Romeo and Juliet.
Right.
That sort of thing.
Uncle
so
Sam.
That's my question for tonight.
I want to say Barbie because I want to throw a lady in there.
All right, Ed, we'll leave it out for people.
Okay, thanks a lot.
No problem.
Barbie's good. Yeah.
And Lori, it's your turn.
Right, well, I have a handout for this
Uh-oh,
one, so you
handout.
Don't need your pens. Okay. I don't have one for our studio audience, but you can share.
Mr. Fisher, you didn't say there was going to be a quiz.
There's always a quiz. So these are, I'm giving you lyrics now to songs that are about work and labor. And I want you to identify the song, if you know the artist and the approximate year, that's okay. I think they're all really well known, but I might be wrong. The audience, I think it's going to be hit or miss, so I'll read them pretty quickly. Number one is 9 a.m. on the hour hand, and she's waiting for the bell, and she's looking real pretty. She's waiting for her clientele. Number two, well, that foreman, he's a regular dog. The line boss, he's a fool. Got a brand new flat top haircut. Lord, he thinks he's cool. I'm not going to break into song. Do not worry. Number three is they let you dream just to watch them shatter. You're just a step on the boss man's ladder. Number four is there's room at the top. They're telling you still, but first you must learn how to smile as you kill if you want to be like the folks on the hill. And the last one, number whatever it is, five, some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood.
All Where's right. the Tommy used to work on the docks? Union's been on strike. They're down on their luck. Like, come
That's
on.
What you asked the question.
Right, I know.
Anyway, you want me to read it again, or you have
no,
a couple
no,
guys?
No, that's all right. Yeah. I think Debbie and I both had number five, which was Tennessee Ernie Ford.
Yeah. Kira, did you
is
know that,
the
that
16
one?
16 tons, and what do you get?
Yeah.
1955. Some people right. say a man is made out of mud, a poor man's made out of muscle and blood.
There's no Cole Porter in this, I'll tell you that much.
You know, I looked for Cole Porter, and I tried to find kind of a American songbook. Most of these, which is to say all of them, are pop songs.
Is the first one Roxanne, maybe?
It's not. Good. It is somebody who is 9 a.m. in the hour hand. She's waiting for the bell. I'll skip through them. Well, that's the foreman. He's a regular dog. The line boss, he's a fool. Number three is they let you dream just to watch them shatter. And number four is there's room at the top. They're telling you still, but first you must learn how to smile as you kill. I think Sparky will call it this one.
All right. All right. Leave that out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed. How are you?
Hi, Ed.
So I have two questions, really good ones. Okay, so the first one, while all of us sleeping Friday morning, this real monster, came by and came real close to us. What was this monster?
The asteroid, you mean?
Yes.
I can't remember the asteroid's name. It's a lady's name that starts with an...
Can you tell the name?
Oh, it starts with an F or an H, I think.
It's up for an F, yeah.
Is an F, okay, yeah. Is it like Francine or something like that?
Florence.
Florence, okay.
Florence.
This thing was almost 3 miles wide.
They name
not
asteroids.
Not only that,
huh?
It had two moons. Wow. One of them was 300 feet. The other one was 100 feet, 150 feet. This thing, if it hit the Earth, forget about the whole humanity, the whole Earth, the whole life on Earth would be gone. Really, it would be. It would be another dinosaur era. Sure. So, you know, sort of fighting each other and all of that stuff was craziness. Let us deal with fighting asteroids. That's the biggest one that came so close to Earth.
Yeah, there's a Michael Bay documentary on that whole subject,
yeah,
too. Yeah.
It's only half an amount from Earth. It's about three times as far as the moon. And it is planet destroyer. Very good. Okay, my second question, pretty much related to that. So with the craziness going between two insane people, Donald Trump in the U.S. and the guy from North Korea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to ask you, what is the difference between atomic bomb and hydrogen bomb, which North Korea just blew up, 2 days ago? What is the difference?
In terms of power or in terms of chemistry?
What is the chemicals used and also the power? Yes.
Well, the power, I think, is 10 times stronger than a hydrogen. Is 10 times stronger than a...
Let's start with the chemicals. What is used in atom bombs?
That, no.
I will give you...
Is it uranium?
Yes, uranium. What else?
Plutonium.
Polonium?
Plutonium.
Plutonium.
Oh, plutonium.
So, yeah,
okay.
And the process is called fission. So where you fissile very heavy nuclei into smaller nuclei. That is what atomic bomb is.
And how much
hydrogen bomb?
Oh.
Hydrogen?
Well, you're quite correct. They actually, what they use, heavy isotope of hydrogen, which is called tritium. It's hydrogen. Yeah, we even have some in our water. One out of billion atom in our water, it is tritium. So, yeah, they use tritium to combine with other tritium to make helium atoms. In the process, hundreds of times more energy is produced than atomic bomb. It's much, much, much more powerful. I mean, the smallest hydrogen bomb is over 100 times as strong, as destructive as the biggest atom bomb we have.
Wow.
So with that in mind, spokesman from South Korea, not North Korea, South Korea, which is ally to the U.S., had a name for Trump today. You know what they called him? What did they call Trump?
What did they call him?
What do you think? I leave it to the audience. It was all over the news.
All right.
Leave it to the audience. Really funny. But it was not complimentary at all. Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
Ed. Have a good night.
All right. Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Please feel free to give us a call. We have a question or answer. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. That is 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. Okay, excuse me. I'm going to do a question. So what I'd like here is to name me the scientist slash inventor, and I'm going to describe what they came up with and tell me who I am looking for, okay? So name me the scientist or inventor. Most of them are scientists. Number one, developed antiseptic surgery. Number two, demonstrated conditional reflexes. Number three, developed a cure for syphilis. Number four, invented a vaccination to prevent smallpox. Number five, developed the idea of the inferiority complex. So number one, developed antiseptic surgery. Number two, demonstrated conditional reflexes. And number three, developed a cure for syphilis. Number four, vaccination to prevent smallpox. Number five, developed the idea of the inferiority complex. I'll give you each one or two. I don't know. It's up to you.
Kara, you got some?
I've got the two low-hanging fruit, and then I'm going to come up with the smallpox vaccine, but I can't. I remember the whole milkmaid thing, but I can't think of his name offhand.
So take one.
I'll get there. I'll go with antiseptic surgery as being Lister.
Yes, Joseph Lister. Correct.
I'll go with the smallpox vaccine.
Oh.
I think it was Pasteur.
No.
Oh.
No.
Not. Okay.
Not for smallpox.
How about the syphilis? Was that Dr. Ehrlich?
Paul Ehrlich, yeah. Yes. Very good. Played by Edward G. Robinson in the movie. Which is a very good movie, by the way.
Yeah, it actually was.
Yeah.
One more each or not?
Go ahead.
I'll probably miss it, so it's okay.
That's all right.
I'm going with Freud on the inferiority complex.
No, no. Not Freud.
Somebody superior to him.
Well, I'll take the other easy one with Pavlov as conditional reflexes.
That is correct, Pavlov. Yeah.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Listening audience, I took the easy stuff.
All right, so
smallpox and the inferior.
So all we have left is, vaccination to prevent smallpox and develop the idea of the inferiority complex. All right, I'll give you one other question, quick question here. Let's see. Boris and Natasha from the Rocky and Bullwinkle show were actually based on what two literary characters? Boris and Natasha from the Rocky and Bullwinkle show were actually based on what two literary characters?
This is the one I used to know. It's right. It's hanging around. It's low-hanging fruit in my head right now.
Oh.
I know this, but I'll let Kara answer.
Well, hey, thanks. I wasn't offering an answer for this one. I don't know. Anna Karenina and some dude. I have no idea.
All right. Okay, but no. And we are a little past halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Kira.
All right. I'll give you the name of a presidential estate. You tell me which U.S. president owned it. We have Grouseland in Vincennes, Indiana, and Springfield in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm also, I have a list of the highest rated episodes of a TV series, and I just need the name of the series. And I've got The Man Trap, All Good Things, Human Flesh, One for the Road, Who Done It, and The Giant Jackrabbit.
Okay.
I have two professions, two surnames that came from professions. I want to know what profession is Bumgarner, besides James Garner's original name, and which what a Schwarzenegger did. And then four lyrics, 9 a.m. on the hour hand, and she's waiting for the bell. She's looking real pretty. She's waiting for her clientele. Number two, well, that foreman, he's a regular dog. The line boss, he's a fool. Got a brand new flat top haircut. Lord, he thinks he looks cool. Number three is they let you dream just to watch them shatter. You're up a step on the bossman's ladder. Number four is there's room at the top. They're telling you still. But first you must learn how to smile as you kill if you want to be like the folks on the hill.
And let's see. Boris and Natasha from Rocky and Bullwinkle were based on what two literary characters? I'm looking for the scientists that that developed these things. Vaccination to prevent smallpox and the developed the idea of the inferiority complex. And what is the best-selling posthumous book of all time? The best-selling posthumous book of all time. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Okay. Bumgarner, that derives from the German word Baumgartner, which literally means tree gardener.
That's it.
Or orchard keeper.
Yeah, that's
basically.
Excellent.
Perfect.
It's very common in North Carolina. I think Madison is from Hickory, 50 miles north of Charlotte. And the nearest beer joint to where I grew up in Davidson was owned by a woman named Hattie Bumgarner.
There you go. That's right up your alley.
Oh, on the nuclear weapons, I recently learned that not all the energy added by the hydrogen fusion, and by any means, is from the actual fusion. One aspect that plays a large role is that hydrogen fusion releases lots of neutrons, so you get much more efficiency in fissioning that uranium or plutonium than you would otherwise.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Something to be aware of.
All right.
Okay.
Be careful, everybody.
Yep. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I have a couple of episode answers and a New York Times question. The episodes are The Man Trap from Star Trek.
Yep.
Ooh.
That is absolutely correct.
And one for the Road always brings up Bette Midler on The Tonight Show, but I think it's Cheers.
It is Cheers.
Good.
And
that makes a lot of
sense. Who is the most quoted person in the New York Times obituary section for the past 2 weeks?
Jerry Knockman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he was quoted for Dick Gregory and for Shelley Berman.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
that's a great question.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the National Film Registry, which movie in the National Film Registry has had the most theatrical showings?
Oh, boy.
And that's defined as what, shown the most times in movie theaters? So, or most,
yes,
released the most times?
Shown the most, like, show times.
Wow.
Well, I'm tempted to say Gone with the Wind. Is that...
No. It is a trick question.
Oh, it's a trick question.
Most of my questions are trick questions.
All right.
So is it like a... Let's all go to the concession stand?
Yes, that's it.
Oh, my.
Excellent. Excellent.
All right.
Okay, thank you very much.
I'm retiring now. That was really... Right.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Oakland.
Hi, Tom.
How are you all doing?
Good, thank you.
Great. Let's see. I think I have some answers. I hope. Is the Springfield, Kentucky, is that the presidential mansion, palace, whatever it is? Is that Knox?
No.
Oh, no, there is no President Knox.
Oh,
no,
you mean,
not yet.
James Knox Polk, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, there you go.
And it was Virginia, right? Springfield, Virginia?
No, this one was Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay.
And Polk was from Tennessee.
Ah, well, I figured he could move a little,
right,
move a little bit.
What he's dead.
As he got higher. Let's see. Is Metamorphosis by Kafka, is that the posthumous best-selling book?
It is not. That's an excellent guess, actually, but no.
Yeah.
Ah, shoot. The song with the step on the boss man's ladder, is that Take This Job and Shove It?
No, but Take This Job and Shove It is one of the other ones.
It's one of the others.
Yeah. So I gotta get, it's,
I figured it might be, but
yeah,
it's
Well That Foreman. He's a regular dog. The line boss, he's a fool. Got a brand new flat top haircut. Lordy thinks he's cool. That's Take This Job and Shove It by the great Johnny Paycheck.
All right.
By Pot. Yeah, great name.
Yeah.
Let's see. TV series. Is All Good Things, is that MASH?
It is not.
Oh. Is Who Done It? I'll take a wild guess at this. Is that Moonlighting?
No, it's not.
And I'll take another wild guess with Human Flesh. Is that the Linda Lavin series, Alice?
Do you know, you are surprisingly on the right track in that a burger joint is featured. It's the primary setting, but it is not Alice.
A burger joint.
And it's currently on TV.
And Human Flesh?
Human Flesh.
And
because
a burger joint?
The show was initially going to be about a family of cannibals that have a burger shop, but they chose not to go in that direction.
Looks like our audience might know this one.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that one I can't guess.
Go on, Tom from Oakland. I feel you can do this, though.
I feel like I'm right around it. Anyway, yeah. Okay, well, that is, and I guess I probably didn't come up with inferiority complex, so I seem to have one right now.
It's all right.
Caused by
Dana. So was that Skinner? I'll guess B.F. Skinner.
No, it's not B.F. Skinner.
Ah, shoot. Okay, I'm striking that all over. I don't have any more guesses. Well, Schwarzenegger, that's not Blackhead Popper, I guess.
No, it is not.
So I've got a list of some three actors who were primarily TV actors, but they all played the same occupational role in a movie.
All right.
So it's John Ritter, Bob Newhart, and Terry Crews.
So they all played the same role in different movies, right?
Different movies, same occupational role, not the same person, but they all had the same occupation in the movie.
Did they all play the president?
They did. Very good. Can you name the movies?
First Family, I think, is Bob Newhart.
Right.
Idiocracy is Teddy Cruz. And John Ritter is the whole reason I didn't say president, because I don't know
he
that.
He played Bush. Right?
No. He played a fictional president.
Oh, John Ritter. Yeah.
Is that the one about the war with Canada? Or we have a war with Canada?
No.
Canadian Bacon?
Alan Alda was.
Okay.
Yeah, Canadian Bacon, a Michael Moore movie.
Can't think of what that is, no.
It's Americathon.
All right.
It was a kind of horrible little movie that I saw. And let's see. And I got one other question with some movie characters who changed their names in the movie, or referred to as having changed their names. And I'll give you the original name if you can give me either the movie or the name. So there's
Michael Dorsey.
Nathan Huffhines, and Fawn Knudsen. And then one from TV is Bernie Liederkrantz.
Fawn Knudsen is Animal House. Isn't it?
I did. It is not Animal House, but
okay.
I believe Fawn Knudsen is the name of the of the person. I didn't make that connection.
And then I'll maybe spawn something else.
What was the last name? Bernie what?
Bernie Leader Clans.
Spawn the girl they pick up at the girls' college to take out?
They're going to, but she had...
She was killed. She died in a kiln explosion.
In a kiln explosion, yeah.
Which is the funniest single joke in the movie, I think. But
Michael Dorsey.
Michael Dorsey. That sounds very familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael Dorsey is probably the most familiar that I would think.
And he changes his name.
Yeah. So they change their name, or somebody changes their name, or they go into hiding, or things like that.
Kind of, yeah.
In each of those, yeah.
Michael Dorsey. That's I know this. Tootsie. That's
very
good.
Dustin
Hoffman.
Right. Dorothy Michaels.
Right.
Nice.
That's very good. Right.
And then Nathan Huffhines and Fawn Knutson are actually from movies from the same director.
Sidney Pollack? Not Sidney Pollack.
No.
Who directed?
Sidney Pollack did direct.
Well, he was in Tootsie, but I don't think he didn't. I guess he didn't direct it.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Not the same director as Tootsie.
All right.
The same director as each other.
Which was Sidney. The same director as each other, correct.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
Not Sidney Pollack.
Is it from, like, Spinal Tap? That Christopher Guest, is that the director?
No.
Okay.
But
I thought Nathan Huffhines might be there.
Similar sensibility in a way.
No, you better give us another hint or fill
in
the
mics. Fawn Knutson is Bunny Lebowski.
Oh.
Okay.
From The Big Lebowski. And Nathan Huffhines is from another...
Yeah, Coen Brothers, film. Evidently.
Nathan
Huffhines.
Is
it Raising Arizona? Was it the kid that they stole?
Good job.
Nathan Arizona.
Yeah, there we go.
Good job.
Who would go to a store called Unpainted Huffhines.
Right.
And then the TV one is Bernie Liederkranz.
Bernie Liederkranz.
I'll give you a hint. It's a Muppet.
Oh, is that Dr. Teeth?
No.
No, Bernie. Sorry. Bernie Liederkranz is a Muppet.
And you're on the right track. It's kind of a showbiz Muppet.
Animal?
Fozzie Bear?
No.
No.
Good guess.
Showbiz. So it's not Scooter. I guess it could be Scooter, but then he has this name Skeeter, so it's probably actually its name.
So it's a showbiz Muppet.
A host or moderator.
Oh, you mean it's Kermit?
No. One other famous game show host.
Oh, Guy Smiley.
Guy Smiley.
Okay.
Guy Smiley.
Oh, right. I had no idea he was Bernie Liederkranz. Right.
Well, it's obvious why he had to change his name.
Yeah, there's an episode where the count is a contestant, and the count says, my name is Count, and they call me that because I love to count, and Guy Smiley says, and I'm Guy Smiley, and they call me that because I changed my name from Bernie Liederkranz.
Good question.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Thanks a bunch. Great show, as always.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Kira, I think it's your turn. Is Grouseland, is that Benjamin Harrison?
You have part of the name.
William Henry Harrison?
It's William Henry, yes.
All right.
Very briefly, President.
All right, yes. All right, I think it's your turn, Kira.
All right. I'll just give you a couple, rando questions. From 1977 to 2011, the only national flag in the world with just one color and no design or insignia was the flag of what country? And also, what color was it?
Libya, green.
Yes, that is correct.
Nice.
The founder of the largest rental car company in the United States named his business after what aircraft carrier, which he had served on during World War II?
Hertz?
Mm-mm.
That's not the largest rental car.
No.
Wasn't Avis.
Not Avis.
Enterprise? It is. The U.S.
Yeah, of course.
Enterprise.
Yeah. Excellent. All right.
And I will give you one more with four answers. Which U.S. states contain the country's northernmost, southernmost, easternmost, and westernmost points? And note that we're excluding territories here. We're only talking about the 50 U.S. states, and we'll throw in the District of Columbia.
So west is...
Well, Hawaii is...
Is it Hawaii or does Alaska go
isn't
by?
Hawaii two?
No.
So you want to guess Hawaii for west? I'll guess Alaska
for west. Alaska is west.
Okay.
Peaked Island is the westernmost point.
Is it Maine or Florida?
Let's get for east.
Although I wonder if you say North Carolina too.
I don't think so.
Is it either Maine, Florida, or North Carolina?
It is none of those.
Oh, okay.
Is south? Does Hawaii go that far south? I don't think so.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah, yeah. I'll guess Hawaii for south.
It does, yeah. Yes. Kalai. Kalai, sorry.
So we need east and north. All right. Well, yep. North must be Alaska, too.
Yes, Point Barrow.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you're just east.
Yeah. Oh, you want to go?
Yeah, leave that out.
Okay.
And actually, Laurie, if you have something short.
I do. Well, I want to ask a Shelley Byrne
question. All right, go
question,
ahead.
Since
go
it's
ahead.
On there. I think it might be short. There's two questions. One is, in the end of his, within the last 5 years, Shelley Berman accused someone of plagiarizing his work. Not a joke, but something else. Who did he accuse of what? And the other one was fun. In 1960, he won the first Grammy for spoken comedy. Who did he beat? What four comedians or comics did he beat in 1960?
Nichols and May.
No.
Oh.
Well, did he accuse Bob Newhart of...
He did.
Yeah.
Of what?
Stealing his telephone
he
bit.
Did. He said to Newhart, and he was really angry about it. And then Newhart's defense was going back to the 1920s.
I agree with Newhart. They've been doing telephone bits all the way
named
back.
He named like 8 or 10 people who had done telephone on Ed Sullivan. Yeah. Yeah, back to
George
the
20s. Jessel used to do a bit.
He used to say goodbye to his mother. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the plagiarizing. So 1960, he won the first spoken comedy. Before it was that, it was musical comedy. So that was that. He beat four very well-known people, none of whom were Nichols and May. Who's on your list? This would have been popular in 1960. This question is dedicated to Jerry Nachman, who would know this.
Okay, maybe not. Okay. Is Bob Newhart one of them?
He's not. A little and, later for Bob Newhart.
1960.
Oh, and I'm sorry, is spoken comedy as opposed to?
Musical comedy.
Musical,
so
okay,
be
that's
like Alan Sherman or, you know, other people, Rusty somebody, right? And these are all... individuals, no groups, are all stand-ups, and they're right at the cusp of what Jerry's book was about old-fashioned comedians and, kind of new age. And
how about Eddie Lawrence, the old philosopher?
No, Eddie, I don't think Eddie ever got a nomination.
All right. Okay.
Anyway, some people might know that. These are really well-known people right at that era, 60.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Denise in San Francisco.
Hi, Denise.
Hi. So I'm a little disappointed because I never know TV answers, but I knew the Sex and the City answers.
Oh, well, I'm sorry for that.
You do sometimes know those answers. Yeah.
And I swear a while back, one of you asked the Rocky and Bullwinkle question, only you asked it in the opposite way, like who are these two characters known for or something, and I was able to guess Rocky and Bullwinkle somehow, but I can't do it the other way around.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so the posthumous most popular or most, you know, best-selling novel, was that Ghost at a Watchman?
No, I didn't say it was a novel. I just said the best-selling posthumous book.
Oh, okay, book. Well, that would have been my guess. Rats. Okay, that's all I have.
Okay, thank you very much.
Does that make it fairy tales?
It is not fairy tales.
Okay.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Val in The Mission.
Hi, Val.
I have an answer for, or a guess, for the posthumous book.
Yes.
It's a little dark. Is that The Diary of Anne Frank?
It is The Diary of Anne Frank.
Woo!
Yes.
Can I get a Val?
Of course you can.
Give you two
good
exciting.
Work.
Wow.
Good work.
And I have one other question, or one other guess, and that's the Campbellistic cartoon series. It's Bob's Burgers.
It is absolutely Bob's Burgers.
Oh, very good.
My favorite show on TV.
Thank you. It's just so exciting. Get through. First time, long time. Love your show.
Thank you.
Bye.
Appreciate
love
it.
Love giving the
bye
bells.
Bye.
First time bells.
Yes. Yeah. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is it I?
It is you.
Oh, great. Okay, I have a couple answers and one question.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very nerdy question, so prepare yourself.
That's all right.
Oh, we're ready.
For the... You said Mantrap at one point. I forget what it's for. Highly rated TV episode in a series, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Mantrap,
yes. That's
yes.
Star Trek.
Yes.
That's Star Trek. With
yes.
The salt-sucking lady. Oh, great episode.
Yeah.
another answer, the smallpox vaccine. Was that Louis Pasteur?
It was not.
Oh, dang. All right. Then for the last name profession, Schwarzenegger was that black plowman?
Say it again?
Black. She's right.
What
black,
is it?
Black plowman.
Yes.
Plowman, yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
The official translation is harrower of dark fields.
Right.
Yeah. Very nice.
Yay, you got a belt. Okay. Those good are my work. Answers, but here is my question. It has right. to do with Lord of the Rings. So, okay, so at the end of the Third Age and the beginning of the Fourth Age, who held the three elven rings, and what were their names? The names of the rings.
I am so not the right person to ask this question.
I am less than you. But
oddly, no, but the funny thing is, She said Lord of the Rings. I heard Lord of the Flies. And I could not make sense of this question
Piggy
for a second.
What?
There were no rings in Lord of the Flies.
So you have a semi-informed answer?
I don't.
You don't?
No.
I'm sorry. We cannot do justice to your question.
That's all right. Should I answer it or just...
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so the three elven rings are Vila, Nenya, and Narya. And at the beginning of the Fourth Age, they were held... Vila was held by Elrond, Nenya was held by Galadriel, oh, she's awesome, and Narya was held by Gandalf.
Excellent.
I'm sorry we couldn't do better with that question.
That's okay.
All right.
I expected you guys to be bigger nerds.
No.
Oh, we are.
Thank you very much.
Different flavor of nerd.
All right. We have to wrap this up here. Kira, why don't you fill in the blanks for us?
Inferiority complex, is that Jung?
It is not Jung.
Okay. Sorry. Smallpox vaccine guy. He's British. I can't think of his name. Yes. Anyway, sorry. All Good Things, that was the season finale, or series finale of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yeah.
Who Done It, that was the answer to Who Shot J.R. Dallas.
Oh, all right.
And The Giant Jackrabbit, one of the biggest broadcasts on TV ever, that was an episode of The Beverly Hillbillies. Yeah. Granny sees a kangaroo.
Oh.
Happened to be on the same day as State of the Union Address by Johnson. Anyway, which is why they think it had such a big audience. Springfield in Louisville, Kentucky. That is Zachary Taylor. And the easternmost point in the United States is the Aleutian Islands in Alaska because it actually crosses the dateline.
I have 9 a.m. in the hour hand. It works hard for the money. About a waitress, supposedly, Donna Summer. They Let You Dream just to watch him shatter your step into Boss Man's Letters. 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton. Yeah. And this one I thought you'd get. There's Room at the Top. They're Telling You Still. But First You Must Learn How to Smile and Kill. Working Class Hero by John Lennon. So those are my Labor Day. And Shelley Berman beat out Lenny Bruce, Stan Freberg, Mort Saul, and shockingly, Andy Griffith, who had an album called Hamlet that year, and Shelley Berman won with Inside Shelley Berman, a really good album.
Interesting. Vaccination Prevents Smallpox, that was Edward Jenner.
Right.
And developed the idea of the inferiority complex, that was Alfred Adler. Boris and Natasha from Rocky and Bullwinkle were based on Gomez and Morticia Adams from the New Yorker cartoons. Let's see. Was that anything else there? I think that was it. If we didn't get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you enjoyed the show. Our panel tonight, technical editor Kira Pace, Lori Fisher, professor emeritus at Apple Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dan Rodriguez. So thanks to Debbie Kennedy and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. And, of course, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody. Happy Labor Day. And please join us next Sunday at 7. Take care. Bye-bye.